Welcome to the Roots of Success podcast.
We've raised the bar.
Tap into the source of your success through real stories from real people.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to level up and get to the root of your success.
And now your host, Nate the Great Peterman.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Roots of Success podcast. I am your host, Nate the Great, coming at you. And today, we have a very special guest, the one and only Telly Swift. How are you doing today?
I am blessed, as always. And yourself?
Oh, I'm doing amazing. I'm so glad we could set this up. I mean, you have a beautiful home. I got to meet some of the fam and everything.
Thank you.
It's a blessing.
Yeah, they're in there. My daughter is, you know, at the park right now, and she's runs the household.
I bet.
She's amazing, though. I mean, she's in charge, but she's amazing.
How old your daughter?
She's 1.5. runs the household. Yeah. Like, whatever she wants, she gets.
Yeah, I saw her watching some of the TV. I'm thinking, man, she got that little me mugging look. Like, damn. Like, you feel me?
She's definitely her dad's child. She has the stare down on point.
That's incredible. So, Telly, kind of, you know, with every guest that I have on the show, I basically have them go through a behind the scenes about, like, their life growing up. Okay, so, of course, the people that are unaware of who you are, I would love for you to basically fill them in with what it is that you do, but most importantly, the roots with where you started, right? Because we're out here in, you know, Los Angeles, California, and a lot of people just tend to look at the highlight reel.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like, again, social media, it's an incredible tool, but mostly people just showcase their highlights.
Absolutely.
So I would love for you to kind of walk the audience through and the viewers and the listeners a little bit about where you started and how you've built, I mean, the empire that you built today, you know?
I don't know if I want to start with when I was 3 years old or if I want to start with when I was pregnant with my daughter.
Hey, do whatever works.
I'll start with when I was pregnant with my daughter. So that doesn't give you guys too much of a background of me being 3 to 32. So we'll be here all day and night. But so when I was pregnant with my daughter and I got with Deontay 3 years before I was pregnant with my daughter, before I was with Deontay, I was in the medical field. I kind of gave up my career and moved to Alabama, where it was very different than what I was used to. And while I was in Alabama, my focus was more so on Deontay's growth and his career as opposed to my career. I kind of put all of that aside to help him build his brand. Not that he needed help, more so it was something that I did within myself. You know, like, and I kind of lost myself in the process of that. And I just more so became all about Deontay and Deontay's growth and his brand. So when I was pregnant with my daughter, I decided I need to focus on myself and my growth for the sake of my children, because now I'm having another child and I'm bringing another child into life. And I want this child to look up to me and not just see that I'm in the house taking care of home, you know, and the man is the provider and as opposed to the woman. So, being that I was having a daughter, I wanted my focus to be on that and have her look up to me instead of anyone else. So, I decided to build a brand based on women, based on empowering women, still being submissive to your man, but being strong. Yep. So I just did it from there. I was pregnant in the house. Instead of staring at the walls and, you know, cooking and cleaning, I was like, okay, let me build my brand. Let me focus on things that I enjoy doing, things that I love to do, which was fashion, fitness, anything lifestyle related. I found out that women look up to me and seen, I was on Wags Atlanta, so they seen that, like, oh, here she is with an athlete. But she still, you know, holds her own. She still puts her foot down. Just because he's a heavyweight champion in the world doesn't mean that, you know, he can't compromise or he can't find something that I enjoy doing or we coming together as a unit, as opposed to, you know, everything that he wants because he's the breadwinner. So I kind of just became that person of doing things for myself, building for myself, helping women find that within their self, as opposed to giving everything to the man and, you know, focusing on what they want and building them when you could build him and build yourself at the same time.
That's deep. How, you know, growing up, because I feel like we all have pivotal moments. I feel like we all have a monumental moment or moments. Did you have anything that, like, because I mean, you got a desire in you. I feel that, you know, like you got that hunger and that drive. So what might have been one of those things that just like pushed you, whether it's younger, you can talk about recent times, but what's been one of those things that was just like, yo, like I wake up every single day and that's why I go get it.
Yeah. Me? Well, you know what? Growing up, my dad was the breadwinner. He was in the military. My mom was at home. I wanted to be someone that my children looked up to. I wanted to be that person that they look at as their superhero, as I see that, you know, Deontay's children look up to him as their superhero. So it's like, okay, now that I'm having a daughter, I want her to be my superhero, you know? So I'm sorry. I want her to look at me as her superhero. So I kind of just, you know, built my career off of that. I know, like, you know, I can only speak for myself. I know how many people that Deontay takes care of, and he's one man, and it's a lot of stress. And I know, including myself, he takes care of me as well too, but I know how much stress it is on his plate, and people don't realize because they only see the outside looking in. And I just feel like, when you put yourself in someone else's position, you don't really fully understand what they go through, but just the thought of, you know, having to deal with so many different people with their hand out, it's hard, it's tough. You know, like I live in a house where I have my brother, I have my kids, I have Deontay, and it's just like, for me, I have 20 million things on my plate. But if I have 20 million things on my plate, he has 250 million things on his plate, you know? So I can't even imagine what he goes through with, you know, the people that he has to deal with. So I feel like within myself, I need to do my part to make it less stressful for him, for my children, and, you know, just be an overall good woman.
Absolutely. You know, social media is a powerful tool.
It definitely is.
Right? You can put out stories, and again, I know we were talking off film, you know, in terms of how a lot of people look at it, it's just like the highlight reel.
Absolutely.
And it's so true, because it takes, I feel like, especially, and I'm sure you can attest this as well from like a woman's point of view, I feel like a lot of women, they get very self-conscious about what they put out there. Trust me, I know men that get self-conscious too. I've mentored realtors that have done billions of dollars in sales, and it's like the amount of self-consciousness and, I guess, the insecurities Absolutely. That people kind of let themselves get into, it's mind-boggling. Because at the end of the day, it's like, if you don't love yourself, how can you love the person that you're with?
Absolutely.
Or how can you love?
It starts with self. It starts with, you know, we have conversations about this all the time. And I feel like self-love is the most important love. And you can't, like you said, love anyone else, your children, your spouse, your family, before you love yourself. And it takes a lot. It's not easy to just, you know, love yourself and not be. It's hard. It's harder for me to be selfish than selfless. Like, my happiness is more so on making other people happy, you know, like people that aren't able to make themselves happy, like hence why I have my nonprofit organization, or you know, it's just, and why I do motivational speaking. It's, you never know what you could say to make someone's day. And you could just be like, hey, I just called to let you know that I'm thinking about you and you're on my mind. And it's just like, they could have been having a bad day and now they have a better day. And it's like, you don't know what that means to people. So it's better to put out that positive energy so that person can love their self a little bit more. And then you could be happy, you know, and say, hey, I did a good deed today, and not even knowing you did a good deed. And then it makes you happy within yourself. That's how I find my happiness.
Even if it's just something, you know, holding the door open for somebody.
Yeah. Right?
Just the simplest things. I feel like there's a misperception where people feel as if, wait a second, for me to help other people, I gotta like climb up a brick wall.
Right. No, you, it could be something so simple. You know, you don't have to spend money. It could just be vocal. It could just be, you know, a simple statement. Like I had my old hairstylist contact me this morning, and she wrote me the most like sweetest voice memo, and said she's Jamaican. I know. Shout out to my hairstylist in Atlanta, Yana. She wrote me this morning, and she was just like, I just wanted to let you know, out of everyone that I know here in America, like I really look at you as my sister. You're so genuine. There's nothing fake about you. And she was like, outside of my family, like, I love you. I just, you know, like, you know, people say all the time, hey, sis. And no, like, you're really, that's not how you look at that person. And for me to hear that, it's like, okay, I know what I'm doing is the right thing. You know, it's not just something that I do and for Instagram or, you know, like just to get likes or whatever the case is. It's so much deeper than that, because people really need like motivation. They need self-love. They need to feel empowered. They just, especially women, you know, men too, but I feel like men are more prideful and than women when it comes to that type of stuff. Women are emotional creatures. And so we need that. We need that self-motivation. We need that self-love. We need other women to support us and motivate us and push us to be the best version of ourselves.
That's deep. Do you think it's hard for, I don't want to say do you think, why do you think it's hard for men to express their emotions?
You know what? I think it's a pride thing. I think it's because men and society allow us to perceive them as macho, as like, you have to be strong, you can't cry, you can't show emotions, or you're not a man, or you're weak if you show emotions. And it's like, it's okay, we're human at the end of the day. Like, we're built to have emotions, we're built to hurt, we're built to have happiness, we're built, you know, to have these different emotions. And I just feel like as men, society has taught men to be emotionless, you know, and I feel like it's okay if you're going through pain, it's okay to cry and let it out. You know, you don't have to just hold it in, because it just suppresses that feeling. And, you know, when you hold it in, it just becomes, it builds, and then you explode, and then it's a whole nother situation. Yeah. So you have to release that. Yes. You have to release it. You have to.
That's deep. Yeah, because you'd be seeing some people, they just be like going off. I'm like,
yeah. We were just talking about that. Like, why are you yelling?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Like, chill out. Just have a normal conversation.
Yeah.
You ain't got to be all like, you know, verbal. And I mean, when people, you know, you'd be seeing some brothers on the street, they'd be like trying to square up with somebody. I'm like, brother.
Calm down. It's okay.
Just talk to me man to man.
Yeah. You know? It's so crazy. But you never know. That, I feel like, also goes back to deeper rooted issues. You know, me and Deontay have this conversation all the time. Like, it starts in the household. Yes. You know, there's people that are raised up and there's people that are drug up. So I feel like, you know, there's unfortunate situations in the household where you might not have both parents, or you might not have a decent upbringing to where you become an angry person or become a happy person because you have a great upbringing, you know. But it always, I feel like it starts in the household. But then when you're out of the house, you have to make that personal decision on whether you want to be a positive person or a negative person, you know. And I just feel like some people don't know how to handle their emotions, or haven't been taught how to handle their emotions. So it's tough. I feel like it's tough when you, back to self-love, when you don't love yourself.
Yeah.
And it portrays in people. Like, you could see it, whether they're angry, whether they're happy, you know, like, you don't know how people's day goes. So I feel like when you push out positivity, it'll come back to you tenfold.
That's so true. You know, myself, I've never had a hard time like expressing emotions, you know, because a lot of men, I mean, they struggle with that because it's like, it's the same exact face 24/7 that they express. Like they can't really, and maybe I've just been blessed with dimples and, you know, of course I had braces for 5 years, so that might help.
Guys do not know what women go through.
That's so true.
It's so crazy. But in the same standpoint, I don't know what a man goes through. Like, you know, me and Deontay always have this conversation about like, you know, I don't know what it feels like to be in his shoes. And I'm like, well, you don't know how it feels like to be in my shoes. But it's like, you know, when the roles are reversed, I don't think we can fill in each other's shoes. You know, like, I don't know if I would be able to be a boxer and get hit in the face 50 million times, you know? And I don't know if, as a man, like, men don't tolerate pain well. Like, I mean, well, as far as like, as what I'm talking about is like having a baby, you know, like, you know, it's like, you will never know what that feels like to be sick for 9 months and bear a child, you know? So it's like, it's women and men are built so differently. And it's just, I enjoy being a woman.
Yeah.
There's times that I'm just like, if I was a man, this would be okay. You know, like I would be able to get away with this, or, you know, like, hair or makeup. Like I can go out without no makeup on, or I could go out without my hair not done because I'm a man, you know?
Right.
But it's like, as a woman, it's a little bit different, you know? Like, and that goes with a lot of things, you know, not just like exterior, but interior too, you know? So I feel like just like with pride, you know, and sensitivity and like all of that, you know, it's so different to me. Like at the end of the day, we're all human, but it's still man and woman. You know, there's double standards to everything, which I don't feel is fair. But that's what society has put out there.
Yeah, totally. You got to be on one accord.
Absolutely.
You got to be in perfect harmony.
Absolutely.
That's one of the secrets. And a lot of people don't really, I don't know. I would say they just don't really think too much about, I don't want to say their other, like the partner or the spouse, but. Really great read, The Five Love Languages.
Five Love Languages.
Gary Chapman.
Love. Yes, love that book. I actually read it out loud to Deontay.
Really?
He didn't want to read it, and I'd be in bed, and I'd be like, okay, chapter one. I was the audio book.
I can see that. I feel like he's not the type that's just like,
no, he's definitely not reading it. But when it's in the bed and you're forced, I'm like, okay, today, this is what we're learning. This is a love language. I feel like you're this love language. This is more what you portray.
Oh my gosh.
It's so crazy. But it's a must. Like you have to, like you said, you have to be on the same accord. You have to.
Totally. I mean, that can transform a relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, marriages have been saved from that book. I mean, and that's just a book. I mean, we're not talking about like, you know, counsel and just having that quality time with one another. I mean, that's very, whether it's physical touch, whether it's like me personally, I'm not the best at receiving gifts, for real. That's like one of my weakness in love languages, and I'm real with that, you know? But when it comes to like physical touch, like shaking a hand or something, and people are like, yo, Nate made it. I'm like, man, I love language.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Same with like words of affirmation. That's what like drives people. Like, you're incredible. You're beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, like things like that. And it just, it really, within a relationship, and even if people are married, it's just, I'm sure you can attest to that big time. It really just, it's that driving factor.
Yeah.
What are some other things, like a few things you got on your bucket list?
A few things I have, like the people that I want to meet is like, you know, like Oprah, of course. We had dinner with Gail. She's amazing. But Oprah, I want to meet Oprah. I want to meet the Obamas, Michelle and Barack. I want to go to Bali. I want to skydive in Dubai. Just these crazy things that, you know, like is just absurd. And I feel like if I just go through this list and accomplish these things, you know, we've been talking about going to Bali.
It's
a super long flight.
Really?
It's like 20, I think 6 hours.
Holy smokes. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's super long.
You know, you've traveled around, I'm sure, a decent amount. So where is one spot that you think everybody in the world it doesn't have to be necessarily, you know, a big place. It could be like a small town. It could be, you know, it's your choice. Where's one spot in the world that you think everybody should get a chance to experience from what you've experienced thus far by visiting it?
That's tough. That's a great question.
I know you've been doing a lot of
that I would want them to experience.
Yeah, you think they should experience just the culture and something that stood out to you that was just like, wow, like this really woke me up, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's places like the Philippines that are more humbling than anything. And then there's places like Singapore that is beautiful and like littering is a fine, you know? So they're very like anal about just littering. You can't chew gum in Singapore. Really? You know, you can't chew gum. It's a fine.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's illegal.
I'm out of job then. You
feel me? It's illegal. So there's things that, wow. You know, it's so many different cultures in this world that it's like, you know, the Philippines, you go to the Philippines, it's a third world country. You see so much struggle, so much poverty, and you go back to America and you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm beyond blessed, you know, and people that don't travel outside of America might not necessarily see that struggle or that poverty to be able to achieve that, you know, humble factor within themselves. So it's like, it's tough to see, you know, and it's just when you see it, you're just like, oh my gosh, like I need to, you know, be grateful for the things that I have, grateful for the things that I've accomplished, grateful for the impact that you make on other people's lives, because not everyone, you know, is able to have or is able to achieve, even in their environment, whether, you know, like, let's say, for example, you have a podcast, you know, you did it because you wanted to do it and it's something that you want to do. If you were in the Philippines, like, it's like, yeah, you could have a podcast, but it's like to be able to achieve that, you know, to be able to buy a computer, to be able to buy the equipment, you're going to have to work your butt off, you know, in probably things that you might not want to do quadruple the time, you know, you would have to do it here. So it's like it's such a blessing in America to be able to like have that, you know, ability to make money any way you want to.
Yeah, no, we're definitely blessed. One of the key words that stood out was just the gratitude part. I'm curious, Telly, so throughout your daily routine, I'm sure the viewers and the listeners would like to hear about this too. Do you have certain things that you do every single day, whether it's upon waking? You don't have to go through your whole routine, but
I'll go through one. Okay. Every day I make my bed, because I feel like if I don't make my bed, I'll have a messy day.
Yeah.
I feel like my bed, relies to my day, relies to my life. Like, you know, if I wake up and I don't make up my bed, I'm going to have a bad day. My life is going to be a mess. Like that, I don't know what it is, but in my mind, that's what I think. Whether I'm here, whether I'm in Alabama, whether I'm in Atlanta, wherever I am, whether I'm, you know, in a hotel, I'm making up the bed because I don't want my day to be bad. I don't want my life to be a mess. And I feel like that goes back to my bed. So the first thing I do when I wake up is make up my bed.
Mm. You don't make your bed, you're gonna have a messy day. I completely agree. I do the same exact thing.
Is like, that weird?
No, I feel like psychologically, because you're just rewiring your brain to be like, man, like I'm gonna be lazy on that today.
Yes, you like know? it just I feel like if you don't wake up and be active, it's your day is gonna be not, you know, like not proactive. And you're just gonna be, like you said, lazy. Like if I don't make up my bed, okay, I'm gonna have a lazy day. I'm gonna mope around the house. I'm just not gonna do anything. I'm gonna watch TV, eat popcorn, and chill, you know? And it's like with that, I just make my bed. So I know I'm gonna have a proactive day and it's gonna go good. It's gonna be clean. It's gonna be smooth. It's gonna be, you know, clear and everything. So
yeah,
making up my bed is number one.
I'm curious, Telly. So in terms of coming back to the women empowerment, right? So what's one thing that every single woman that's listening, that they can really implement into their lives that whether you do it every single day, maybe it's some kind of advice or something that would just make their confidence just soar through the roof. That'll just make their complete like demeanor. I'm not saying it transforms them completely, but it'll help them in their daily rituals that they go through. What would be one of those characteristics that you think would be great for them to apply or develop? Because, I mean, you can't just instantly develop a characteristic.
Right.
You got to form a habit.
Absolutely.
And then once you develop that habit and you stay consistent with it.
Absolutely.
Then that's where it really develops in your nature. So what might be one of those, things?
I would say that whatever it is that women are doing to believe in their self, first and foremost, if you don't believe in yourself, your brand, what you're pushing out there, no one is going to believe in you. It's, again, starts with self-love, loving yourself first, and focusing on what you want and what truly makes you happy, as opposed to what you think other people's happiness entails. I think that they need to focus more so on uplifting their self and whatever it is that they're doing to just build that and genuinely want it for yourself as opposed to other people wanting it for you. Because I feel like a lot of people do things based on what they want other people to perceive them as. And it's like, if you're not genuinely happy doing those things, then you're never going to be happy with what you're doing.
That's deep. Because again, a lot of people, they're out there and they do things just because they feel like it should be done that way.
Right.
Or they're doing it because believe it or not, people are forced.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It again starts with the household. You have parents forcing you to go to college, forcing you to be a lawyer, forcing you to be a doctor. But if that's not what you're passionate about, and that's not what's in your heart, then you're not going to succeed. You might succeed in it because it's embedded in your head and you're educated in that field, but you might not be happy. And at the end of the day, I feel like happiness is the new success. And I feel like once you're happy, you'll be successful.
I love that. Happiness is the new success. I love it. Tali, kind of, I want to be considerate of your time, of course. So, what do you have going on right now? Where can the people follow you? I know, you got a nonprofit, of course.
Yes.
So kind of tell the listeners, what you have going on. That way they can tune into it.
Yes, I actually have an event coming up November 22nd in Vegas prior to Deontay's weigh-in for his fight, which is on the 23rd. I have a nonprofit event that we are doing for the Spina Bifida Association, which our eldest daughter has spina bifida. And for people that don't know what spina bifida is, it's a birth defect where there's a gap in your spine and your spine doesn't grow correctly. So it causes, every case is different, but it causes, some people to be wheelchair bound, not have feeling in their feet, and so forth. And, it's something that is livable, but it's not easy to deal with. And, I want to raise awareness and research and just, have people be aware of this birth defect that people live with on a daily basis and that we live with on a daily basis. So it's super near and dear to our hearts. And we have this event and it's a pop-up November 22nd at 12 o'clock in Vegas at the MGM Grand. So stay tuned for that. And if you can make it, that would be amazing. We have packages that include tickets to the fight, access to the press conference, access to the weigh-in. That's available on my website at boxingwagsassociation.org. And at the pop-up, we'll also have signed gloves by Deontay, and we'll have those for auction. So it'll be fun.
That sounds incredible.
Thank you.
And then where can they find you on socials? Oh,
you could find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at Telly Swift, TellySwift.
Perfect. And I will attach all of the socials, the links and everything in the description below as always for you guys to check out. And I just wanted to take a moment and say, Telly, I first off appreciate who you are.
Thank you.
And most importantly, I mean, I know life isn't always easy, you know, being in a position that you're in and the things that you've been through up to this point. So I commend you immensely for that. And again, with you being a big family woman, it's very inspiring because I'm very similar. I'm a family man, you know, like going home to Thanksgiving and, you know, the holidays and Christmas, anytime, whenever I can see my family.
It's a blessing.
Yeah, it is a blessing. So I just want to say I appreciate you for being who you are. And that's Telly Swift.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. Conversation. And I know we got off topic a whole bunch of times, but it was a pleasure talking to you.
Hey, we float, Telly. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Roots of Success podcast. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review. I really appreciate that, as well as a like and a subscribe. Stay connected between shows by following me on Instagram at NateTheGreat. And remember, guys, success starts here. Keep winning. Nate the Great signing off.